That is a hot take.
Prove me wrong.
I've never been wrong before.
Right. Yeah, you're wrong this time, Paulie.
Syracuse basketball is a name brand.
The cream rises to the top, Paulie. The Yankees will be there.
Paulie asked that question on purpose, and I just don't like Paulie right now.
Nobody needs a six-hour baseball game.
If you're going to lose that many faceoffs and you only lose by a goal to a number one team, is it really so bad?
You claim to my buddy doll as his dependent
as a child.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I don't think you can get away with that.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sebelia.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Paulie Sebelia with you on a Tuesday edition of Orange Nation. We've got three guests lined up for you on the show today. We'll talk with our good friend Mike McAllister at 12:30. We'll talk all things Syracuse sports with Mike. And then in hour number two, we've got James Colgan, assistant editor of golf.com. He's a Cuse guy. He was covering the Masters, so we'll get his take on what went down at Augusta National over the weekend. And then coming up at 1:30, the play-by-play man for the Utica Comets. We had Lucas Favalli on yesterday to cover the crunch side of things. We'll have Michael Lear on with us at 1:30 to talk Galaxy Cup, the next chapter tonight as the two teams go at it in Utica, Crunch and Comets, 7 o'clock face-off right here on ESPN Radio. Aside from that, phone calls are welcome at 315-437-7644. How are you today, Paulie?
I am great, Steve. Well-rested. Two meetings already in the books today. I'm ready to talk some sports.
Very productive already.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm pumped. I love meetings.
Well, I know that we're, what, 2+ weeks removed from the end of the SU basketball season, but, you know, as we try to move on to other things, we keep getting pulled back into the SU basketball talk. And I know that, you know, in our chat section and Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv, you know, for the entire 2 hours, it seems like every day people are still talking basketball. Every day it seems like there's news about some player either coming or transfer portal, you know, a prospect potentially coming here. And so we've seen that over the course of the last 2 weeks. So I figured let's revisit SU basketball here to start the show. We've got Mike McAllister set to join us in about a half hour from now. And as you pointed out off the air, Paulie, everybody's kind of putting together, you know, their way too early projections and predictions for next season. We see it at a national level, ESPN, Sporting News, CBS, on down the list. A lot of those national analysts have Syracuse included in their way too early top 20 for next year. And then locally, the Mike McAllisters, Mike Waters of the world, they've been, you know, putting their own take on the roster and what fans can expect and, you know, who we know is coming back, who we know is leaving, and you know, some of the question marks with this team and with this roster heading into the offseason. So that's where we start today. I guess first things first, when you hear all of these national pundits put Syracuse in their way too early, you know, top 25s, what do you think? You think next year's team will be better than this year's team?
If Quincy's back, yes, I do. People are poo-poo it, but they've got a very experienced backcourt. That's the most important thing in college basketball, is having an experienced backcourt, and they got it. And as much as everybody wants to cry and complain about things, would it be great to have a little more experience on the bench? Yeah, it would. But with what they got two really experienced guards. And I think they're a top 25 team.
With or without Quincy, they're a top 25 team.
No, they're not. Right back on the bubble.
Quincy piece of the puzzle. That is a big piece of the puzzle that we do not know yet, and we may not know for quite some time. You know, again, everything's pushed back this year because of COVID, and they changed the dates of the combine. The combine isn't until the end of June, June 21st through the 27th. The draft itself isn't until the end of July. So again, if they go by the same timeline that they've been following, generally guys have 10 days after the combine to make their decision official. So you're talking spilling over into July. You're talking about right around the July 4th holiday. You know, that would be the deadline. So it may be a while, Paulie, before we know whether or not Quincy's coming back. Now, you know, he may make a decision before then. You know, he may get feedback one way or the other and decide, you know what, I'm staying in no matter what, or, you know, I'm coming back. But we may not know until July 4th whether or not he's a part of this team. So, I mean, that's something you got to take into account. Certainly, I mean, the coaches, we talked with Adrian Autry about this yesterday. The fact that, you know, obviously the transfer portal and the way it's exploded with the new, you know, NCAA rule allowing, you know, first-time transfers to play right away, it, you know, the stress that that puts the coaching staff under, not just at Syracuse, but everywhere. But this is another added stress this year with the way that the dates fall and the way that things have been pushed back that, you know, generally you know sometime in May whether or not a guy's coming back. You may not know now until, you know, the first week of July whether or not a guy's coming back or staying in the draft.
The interesting thing, too, is what do they do with the scholarship for him? You know, like, you've got to put it on hold, right, until he makes a decision. And then everybody's gone by, you know, all the players are gone by July. And what do you
do? That's the bigger problem, I think, opposed to the scholarship, because I don't think the scholarship's necessarily a big deal. I mean, they're back up to their full 13. I don't think the scholarship is a big deal, but the bigger deal is trying to sell someone on coming here if you don't have the answer, right? They were able to grab Cole Swider, and that was great, and you got Benny Williams coming in. You know, trying to sell a replacement on coming here, and maybe that's where Jimmy Boeheim fits into the mix, you know? And I think, you know, many of us believe that Jimmy is eventually going to end up in a Syracuse uniform. Hasn't happened yet. But, you know, maybe you just, you know, go to battle with those three forwards. You know, your three guards, you got your two centers. And if Quincy comes back, fantastic. And if he doesn't, you know, that's who you're rolling out there. But I would expect, again, I don't think the scholarship itself is a big deal. I think to the point that you just mentioned, well, the finding a replacement in July, because by then
you're going to have an open
musical
spot,
chairs has stopped.
Do you just eat it for the year, or do you go out and maybe hope to find another Marek? What do you do?
Maybe. I mean, maybe you pick up what's left in the transfer portal. But to your point, the game of musical chairs is pretty much stopped by then. Everybody's found a chair. Everybody's found a destination. And so I think that's the bigger issue. You know, you could give that scholarship to, I suppose you could give it to a walk-on.
Yeah.
You found a scholarship for Chaz Owens.
Is Syracuse at a point right now where they can afford to pass up on more depth?
Right. Or maybe you take a chance on a project, or maybe you grab somebody in the transfer portal and kind of take a flyer on someone. But I don't think that's a huge deal. If, you know, that one remaining scholarship, I think the bigger deal is finding, somebody who can come in and do the job at that late stage of the off season.
I think they hopefully feel like they've filled that, right?
Right.
If Quincy's gone.
With Cole Swider. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, right. And if Benny Williams lives up to the hype, they'll be fine.
Then you're fine. Right. Not going to have a lot of depth there. But if, you know, and if Jimmy comes here, again, you've got your three forwards. Right? I mean, we know that Jim Boeheim plays generally seven guys. That would be eight guys. If Jimmy comes here, you've got your three guards, Samir, Joe, and Buddy. You've got your three forwards in, you know, Benny Williams and Cole Swider, and then we're throwing Jimmy Boeheim into the mix, even though he's not committed yet. And then Jesse and Barama are your centers.
Right.
You know, and again, we don't know the situation with Frank. I think that's, you know, if Barama is hurt, who's that backup center? You know, would it be Frank? Would it be Cole Swider, potentially? I mean, would he be able to play some five? I don't know. I know we kind of threw that out there, and it wasn't completely shot down by the assistants, but, you know, it may be too early to make that decision. So, you know, that could very well be your rotation.
Yeah, I think everybody's also writing Barama off, like, too early, too. Jordan and I were discussing this. He's not out of the picture. If he's healthy, he's a very good option at center. He's starting or off the bench, I don't know. But if he's healthy,
such a big if.
It's going
such a big
if.
Though.
Yeah, if he's healthy, you're going to have probably the best center situation you've had in a long time at Syracuse. Oh, you know,
And I think that's where the question marks come in, though, with the health. I think they were obviously banking on him to be a big piece of the puzzle this year. And first game in, he, you know, tears his meniscus 4 minutes in, and, you know, we didn't see him again for 2 months.
I think they must be pretty confident that he's going to be healthy if he's coming back. They're not having him back to ride the bench another year, you know. I think they feel his knees are better, you know. And I think Barama would probably say the same thing. Like, I'm not coming back if I'm not playing, right? Wouldn't that make sense?
I guess. I mean, looking at it from the kid's perspective, though, I mean, what are Barama's choices? Barama's choices are to move on from Syracuse. He says he wants to, you know, make a living playing basketball. What's the better path to get there? To leave now and just try to play somewhere and hope you're healthy, or stay at Syracuse, you know, where you've got a top-notch training staff and facility, and you can continue to work out and try to show everyone for a year that you're healthy, and then move on from that. I think it makes a lot of sense for Barama to come back. I don't think it would have made a ton of sense for him to leave.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying,
from the coach's perspective, of course they want him back. He's at the very least, he's a locker room guy, a leadership guy. You know, he knows the zone. He can almost be another coach at practice, so to speak.
I'm guessing they talked to the trainers and the doctors to see if it was an option that he was going to be able to play next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. An option, yes. I mean, but again, they thought he was an option this year. And it turned. So right. I think it's a roll of the dice, for both parties, but I think it's a calculated risk by both parties, right? Because the coaching staff wants him back for everything he brings to the table with the leadership, and, you know, he's a veteran and he's been in the system and all that. And obviously I think he wants to come back to show everyone that he can play, he can go out his own terms, he can stay healthy, and he could potentially have a career overseas. Whereas if he leaves now, there's going to be obviously major question marks about whether or not anybody should take a chance on him.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing if the trainers and doctors said you're not going to get better from this injury, he wouldn't be coming back, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. You know, we saw Daywon Coleman battle until the very end.
Yeah,
you know, and keep trying and keep trying. And, you know, athletes want to play, and I understand it. I admire him for coming back and working hard and trying to get back on the court. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know what we can expect out of Barama, and we may all just kind of find out together as the season starts. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to predict what kind of impact he's going to make, but I tell you what, Jesse better be ready to go, right?
Right.
From day one. He better prepare as though he's the starter and he's going to get a bulk of the minutes. And, you know, if Barama provides anything, it's a bonus. It's gravy, but Jesse's got to be the guy.
I hope Barama pushes him.
Yeah. So. All right, let's go to the phone lines at 315-437-7644. We've got Steve in North Syracuse kicking us off on the show today. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I'm wondering, with theoretically our forward position being wiped out as far as returnees, if the guys in the transfer portal might reconsider who have not committed elsewhere. I mean, we've got Braswell and Woody Newton in there, and I would dearly love to hear Woody Newton say that he would come back, because he'll have 4 years of eligibility, and I would love to pair him with Benny Williams for 4 years. Not only would they be, I think, excellent forwards, but everybody would be able to pronounce their names, which has not always been the case in the past. I just think they're both superior talents and would make a great tandem, and I'm wondering what the potential is for somebody to rethink being in the transfer portal.
Yeah, so you can do it. I mean, you can rethink it. It's got to be mutual, though. You have to want to come back, and the school wants to have you back, because, you know, they would have to, you know, they release you from your scholarship. They would have to then, give you the scholarship back. You generally don't see it. I saw a stat about it the other day about, I mean, it's well over 90% of athletes that put their name in the portal end up going somewhere else and they don't come back. But there are cases. We saw Stephen Rafis do it, for a different reason. It was, you know, regarding discipline with the SU lacrosse team. it wasn't necessarily that he wanted to transfer somewhere else and then changed his mind. He kind of did it as, you know, to keep his options open and have a backup plan. But then Rafe has pulled his name out, and he's back with SU Lacrosse. So it does happen. It can happen. I wouldn't hold my breath, though, Steve, that it's going to happen in this situation. But, you know, we've seen stranger things happen, I guess.
Well, it would be great if it could. Thank you.
All right, appreciate you checking in, Steve. 315-437-7644. Go ahead, Paul.
I don't know what it does for team chemistry.
If you have a guy, he wants to leave.
Yeah, if you have a guy back after he says he wants out.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it. You know, if you put your name in the portal, you're putting your name in the portal for a reason. You know, you want to go elsewhere.
And it's going to be a harsh reality.
They find that they don't. What's that?
It's going to be a harsh reality for some of these guys. You know,
that maybe they're not as wanted as they thought they might be.
Yeah, like you're not transferring to Syracuse. You know,
right? So right, and the one guy that could have potentially transferred up went to Seton Hall. We all know how you feel about that.
Great program. I'm wearing my Seton Hall blue today.
315-437-7644. Yeah, you're in your Seton Hall blue. We've got to take a timeout. We've got Mike McAllister set to join us about 15 minutes from now. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Paulie Stabilia back with you here on a Tuesday edition of Orange Nation. 315-437-7644. If you'd like to get involved in the show, we've got Mike McAllister set to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk all things SU with Mike. We'll talk some football. We'll talk some basketball as the show moves along here. And again, just kind of getting back to the roster. Again, I do think, Paulie, the biggest question mark right now is just about Quincy. And if it's going to be Quincy, if it's going to be Jimmy Boeheim at that other forward position, because I do think the guards are set, and losing Kadari, it stings. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was a terrific talent, but you bring in Samir Torrance, you've got some built-in chemistry with those three guys now. On paper, anyway, your two centers with Jesse and Barama, and then the question comes at who's that third forward?
I got a bit for you, Steve. The fans are going to love this. All right. Now, hear me out. Who on the roster right now is going to upset the fan base so much that they're not playing next year? Looking at their roster right now, who will people be calling your postgame show and clamoring for more minutes? Are you just gonna ignore that and act like I
know? I'm not gonna ignore it.
I'm gonna guess Saimir. I think he's gonna come in and play well.
Yes, I was gonna say that.
He's gonna be
because
our next.
There are some that no matter what Joe does, they're not gonna be happy. I think that's probably the answer to the question. You know, I think if Frank stays on the team and if he comes back, and we don't know his future yet. We don't know if he's staying or going. He hasn't publicly said one way or the other. He's, put out some cryptic posts on social media as college kids often do, but no definitive word one way or the other. If he stays on the team, I could foresee him being a candidate as well.
Yeah. A lot of people saying Benny. I don't see that. Everybody's saying Benny Williams. I don't see it. I don't see that being an issue. You know, that kid's pumped to come here. Everybody, Saimir knows what he's getting into. Every recruit that comes to Syracuse knows what they're getting into. If you don't know what you're getting into when you come to Syracuse to play for Coach Boeheim, that's it. You're not doing your due diligence, as they would say. You know, all you got to do is watch a couple games on TV and you know what you're getting into. But yeah, I would say it's Saimir or. If Quincy's gone, it's going to be Jimmy or Cole, one of those two.
So you don't think the center position is going to be a thing next year?
No, because I think you got the two-man rotation that you know you're going to get.
Well, again,
I mean, if they go three deep at the center, that's just bonus.
Well, they're not going three deep, but do we know? I mean, you say we know what we're getting. Again, we don't know about Barama. And while everybody thinks Jesse is the next coming of Wilt Chamberlain, we don't know. We don't quite know that either.
And what's the holdup on Jimmy Boeheim? If it's going to happen, just get, you know, rip the Band-Aid off already.
I mean, I think he's coming here. Is the holdup Quincy? You know, would Coach not want to bring his son here if Quincy were to come back?
Well, I guess,
or would he advise his son not to come here?
I guess.
If you got Benny Williams, wait. Cole Swider, and Quincy.
But are you going to tell your kid to wait till July when all the other spots
I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll know soon. You know, maybe they know something we don't know. I mean, they probably know something we don't know. So maybe Quincy's going to make a decision soon. I don't know. You said, what's the holdup? That's the, in my mind, that would be the one big holdup, is maybe they want to see, you know, for Jimmy's well-being, he's got 1 year left. He wants to go somewhere and play.
Right.
And so if Quincy comes back, it's going to be awfully hard for him to get on the floor.
So you're saying
Quincy doesn't come back,
that Jim Boeheim would play the better player more minutes. Shocking take.
That's what I'm saying, Paul.
That was scalding hot.
Yes,
Steve, that's what I'm saying. You just to come out with that take so smoothly like that, I almost need a defibrillator that you would think that way.
That he would actually want what's best for his team and best for his son at the same time.
Amazing.
Yeah. That could be the holdup. I don't know. I think Jimmy's coming here, but I think a lot of people believe he's coming here. Let's see what happens with Quincy. To your point, though, if it's not till July, you know, I would expect Jimmy's got to make a decision before then.
Yeah.
But Quincy probably makes a decision before then, too. You know? So we'll see how this whole thing plays out. That's the big question mark for me going into next year, is that third forward spot. Who takes it? And I think if Frank leaves the program, I think that really hurts you. I think you have to go out and get another center then. If Frank leaves, I think you got to go in the portal and find somebody else.
So a third body. Because that is just going to.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's just going to open up the why isn't he playing a third center. Or you've got Cole Swider that would slide into that.
I guess, which I think would be
the most logical.
Yeah. Like a Tyler Lydon type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a Marek.
But again, not everybody can be Marek. Not everybody can just, you know, play out of position and slide into the five and play well at the five. Or Tyler Lydon for that matter.
They've done pretty good at it with the two that they did.
No, I know. But do you want that to be your plan, though? That, you know, do you want that to be the plan B?
If he's your third, you would hope it would be plan C.
Right. That's my point, is that if Frank leaves, I think you have to pick up another center, a third center, so that you have some insurance if Barama's not available, and then you can go to that third center, or if Cole develops into a guy that can you know, slide in and play the five, then great. But I don't know as if you know that right now. Let's take a timeout. We've got Mike McAllister set to join us on the other side. We'll talk about all these things with Mike. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebilia back with you here on a Tuesday edition of Orange Nation. I feel bad I kept Mike so long, but I could talk SU football and basketball with him all day. Does a great job covering Syracuse athletics. Did you get in a nice little nap there, Paul?
It was great. You should do interviews like that more often.
Recharge, ready for the end of the show?
Fake eyes on for the camera, so it looks like I'm awake.
So you said before the show started, you're like, Steve, I've got two stories I have to tell on the air today. So I spent so long with Mike, this has to be a quick segment. So we probably can't get to both stories, but why don't you give us
I will do the one
of the two stories.
I'll do one that is not based on my stupidity. It is. Maybe it is. I ordered Kevin from Liverpool's My Buddy Doll for having the worst bracket in our bracket tournament. And I think I got scammed.
What happened?
I got an email that says, I don't understand what went wrong with this item. It has already been sold and shipped. by another to another buyer. I tracked it and marked it sold, but it was not removed from my listings. Sounds shady.
You already paid for it?
Yeah, you got to pay. I did a buy it now.
Yeah. Sounds like you got scammed.
So I got to write eBay, right? How much did I pay for this, Jordan? $45, $65, something like that?
$65?
Maybe.
Yeah, you paid $65 for a My Buddy doll?
Yeah, for a listener.
Like 40, wasn't it, Paulie?
I don't know. 40, 60. That's what I was asking.
I was going to say, I think isn't that double the cost of the one behind you?
Yeah.
The first one was like 20. The second one was like 40.
This one's been dry cleaned. This one was clean and it was too pristine to be real, I think. So I think I've been scammed.
I think so too.
Over a My Buddy doll. Either so that they're selling like hotcakes at the Q's because I have one already.
I think you were scammed. I think it's the second time this week you were scammed. You let Jordan scam you out of some money to hypothetically put it on Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that's true. Kevin from Liverpool in our Twitch chat saying he bought it before me. He just doesn't want it to be handed over to him. I will buy one.
By the way, did we locate our winner of the bracket?
What's
challenge?
His name, Jordan?
Cooper Max 370. We need you. Call us.
So we have not located our winner of the bracket challenge.
Yeah.
I've got helicopters overhead looking out for him.
And what's the prize? What prize
tickets
does he claim?
To the SU next game.
Oh, right.
The next
game where there's fans. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Got it. Yeah. You'll want to claim those. Okay. So Cooper Max 370, wherever you are.
Maybe it's DB Cooper. That actually is Cooper Max. That's why we can't find him. There's a little.
Well, whoever it is, claim your prize. All right. So with that, we're up against the top of the hour. We'll take a timeout here. We'll get back on time. Phone lines open for another 15 minutes or so before we get into our other guests today. 315-437-7644. We've got James Colligan, assistant editor of golf.com, set to join us at 1:15 to talk about the Masters. And then Michael Lear, play-by-play man for the Utica Comets, coming your way at 1:30. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.